KNY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today on this Friday News Roundup. We've got much information here to share with you today. We've got just a ton of stories. Much has been taking place all this week, and let alone what's taken place in the last 24 hours is absolutely amazing. We're going to begin with a story from FoxNews.com. It is certainly Iran is certainly the forefront of the news right now, and the Pentagon confirmed last evening that President Trump had ordered the attack that killed Iranian General Soleimani and other military officials at the Baghdad International Airport. Iran's top commander was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans and coalition service members and the wounding of thousands more, the State Department said. The U.S. State Department issued a security alert this morning urging all U.S. citizens to depart Iraq immediately due to the heightened tensions in the region. It's also reported from the State Department saying that General Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. The U.S. will continue to take all necessary action to protect our people and our interests wherever they are around the world. Brigadier General Esmail Ghani, who served as Soleimani's deputy commander since 97, now taking over the helm as head of the Quds Force. Reuters reported that, citing Iranian state media. Well, certainly much to be in prayer concerning the leader of Iran, their supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has also warned harsh retaliation is waiting for the United States. The Iranian foreign minister warned the U.S. would bear all the consequences of what he called the foolish military attack, claiming Soleimani's assassination would only escalate tensions in the region. We need to be praying for wisdom for our president, be praying for our armed forces, be praying for this situation as it is developing right now in the Middle East. FoxNews.com also reporting that the siege against outside the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad did come to an end Wednesday afternoon after dozens of pro-Iran militiamen and their supporters withdrew from the compound. The two-day crisis started early Tuesday when an orchestrated assault, hundreds of protesters stormed the embassy compound, one of the most heavily fortified U.S. diplomatic missions in the world. The troops ended up firing tear gas to disperse the pro-Iran protesters who were gathered outside the embassy. Violent protests included smashed windows, sprayed graffiti on the embassy's walls, was said to be in protest of the U.S. airstrikes that targeted an Iran-backed militia over the weekend, killing some 25 fighters. Also, a U.S. State Department spokesman told Military Times in an emailed statement that there has been no breach of the embassy and there were no plans to evacuate the embassy at that time, making it clear that the U.S. will continue to protect and defend its people. Also, what's interesting is that the liberal left media put forth a false narrative that President Trump was golfing during this time. There was only one problem with his bombshell piece of news. It was totally false, reports Western Journal. The CNN political analyst Brian Karam wrote, "Our embassy is burning. You've been playing golf." And President Trump certainly tweeted out that that certainly was not the case during such an attack. Also, sanctions imposed by President Donald Trump on Iran, this is from Breitbart, have now more than erased the benefits given them by President Barack Obama under the nuclear deal. According to numbers presented by Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, under the Iran deal, Iran gained renewed access up to $150 billion in assets that had been previously frozen. The Obama administration also infamously gave Iran nearly $2 billion in cash for the release of American prisoners who were effectively hostages. Rouhani, quoted by Bloomberg News, said Tuesday that the renewed U.S. sanctions have now cost Iran $200 billion in foreign exchange income and investments. That is more money that has cost them than Barack Obama had given them under the so-called Iran deal. In other news, we have the story being reported that the Marine Corps announcing Tuesday that it was authorizing Marines and civilians in Marine Corps law enforcement roles to carry personal firearms while on base. Lieutenant General George Smith announced in a press release that the Marines were changing their policy following the December shootings at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola and at Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard in Hawaii, which left five dead. These tragic events prompted Headquarters Marine Corps to accelerate existing efforts to develop concealed carry policies, the memo reads. Marine Corps spokesman Captain Joseph Butterfield said that approximately 3,200 individuals will be eligible to carry their personal firearms under the new policy, according to the Washington Examiner. Isn't that amazing? Marines who are there to defend our nation now finally given the right to carry concealed for their own personal safety. Interesting story as well came forth from WND.com. Christmas cards typically have these cheerful, inspiring themes on them, but a card by the notorious magazine wished members of Congress a Merry Christmas, and when you open the card, it shows a image of a dead Donald Trump. It was apparently was intended as a sarcastic response to President Trump and his campaign, but the front of the card showed a cartoon holding a smoking gun with the caption, "I just shot Donald Trump on Fifth Avenue and no one arrested me." Inside the card then showed the body, and the caption said, "Merry Christmas from all of us at Hustler." We understand, folks, that we're going to lows we have not seen before as a nation. We understand the Secret Service getting involved with this very issue. Also, from FoxNews.com, Mark Galley, the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, who infuriated nearly 200 evangelical leaders by writing a December editorial calling for President Trump's removal from office and describing the president as being profoundly immoral. He is now stepping down at the end of this week. His December 19th editorial was entitled, "Trump Should Be Removed from Office," came one day after the House of Representatives approved two articles of impeachment against President Trump, this Christianity Today editor stepping down. From Breaking Israel News, interesting story here on Meet the Press program this past Sunday morning. Chuck Todd publicized a letter to the editor that he found from a Lexington Herald leader written by David Bowles. But the letter that Todd describes as fascinating calls the Bible a fairy tale. It's recorded in mono here, but I want you to listen to what he had to say.
I want to read you guys a letter to the editor that we found in the Lexington Herald Leader. It was a fascinating attempt at trying to explain why some people support President Trump. Here's what he says. Why do good people support Trump? It's because people have been trained from childhood to believe in fairy tales. This set their minds up to accept things that make them feel good. The more fairy tales and lies he tells, the better they feel. Show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark, and I will show you a Trump voter. Look, this gets at something, Dean, that my executive producer likes to say is, hey, voters want to be lied to sometimes. They don't always love being told hard truths.
People don't want to be told the truth. They like being lied to. And again, show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark, and I will show you a Trump voter. No agenda there. No agenda whatsoever. Let's go on to another story, interesting one from the Daily Wire. Last Saturday, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden tried to walk back comments that he made this week when he declared that he would not comply. That would be a week ago comments, that he would not comply with a Senate subpoena in President Donald Trump's impeachment. Biden made the remarks during an interview with the Des Moines Register last Friday when he was asked, "Do you stand by your earlier statements that you wouldn't comply if you were subpoenaed to testify at an impeachment trial before the Senate?" "Correct," he said, "and the reason I wouldn't is because it's all designed to deal with Trump doing what he's done his whole life, trying to take the focus off him," Biden responded. Well, moments later, the Des Moines Register asked Biden, "Doesn't that position you as if you're defying a subpoena, putting yourself above the law?" "Rightly spoken." Biden responded, well, look, the grounds for them to call me would be overwhelmingly specious, but so I don't anticipate that happening anyway. He then revealed that the reason he was not going to comply with the subpoena is that he's worried about how the media would cover what he said in his testimony. He tried to walk back his comments in a series of tweets, saying, but I just am just not going to pretend that there's any legal basis for Republican subpoenas for my testimony in the impeachment trial, Biden continued. That is the point I was making yesterday, and I reiterate, this impeachment is about Trump's conduct, not mine. The subpoenas should go to witnesses with testimony to offer to Trump's shaking down the Ukraine government. They should go to the White House. No, he doesn't want the spotlight put on his quid pro quo that he had with Ukraine during the Obama presidency. Newsmax.com indicated here, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden said he would nominate Barack Obama to the Supreme Court if he won the White House next year and if the 44th president wanted the job. If he take it, yes, Biden told a voter Saturday during a campaign event in Washington, Iowa. New York Times picked up on the story, but former Vice President Joe Biden saying if he becomes president, he would pick Barack Obama for the United States Supreme Court. FoxNews.com reporting Julian Castro, the former Obama housing secretary and San Antonio mayor, dropping out of the race this week for the presidential nomination. The only Latino in the field, he established himself as one of the more progressive members in the primary, had been struggling to raise money and fight his way back onto the debate stage. And he said this, it's with profound gratitude to all of our supporters that I suspend my campaign for president today. I'm so proud of everything we've accomplished together. I'm going to keep fighting for an America where everyone counts. I hope you'll join me in the fight. Julian Castro out of the race. Let's see, this from CNSNews.com. When John Dickerson visited South Bend, Indiana to interview Pete Buttigieg and, quote, his husband, Chasen Buttigieg, for the April 21st edition of CBS Sunday Morning. Yes, Chasen, when Pete first mentioned the possibility of running for president, he said it happened when we were getting ready for bed and I was folding laundry. Buttigieg is now leading the latest polls in the first two Democratic contests, the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary. Be in prayer for Congressman John Lewis. He's from the state of Georgia. A longtime congressman announced this past Sunday that he's undergoing treatment for stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He's represented Georgia's 5th congressional district for over 30 years now. Doctors discovered the cancer during a routine visit. He has said he's going to continue to serve in Congress. I've decided to do what I know to do and do what I have always done. I'm going to fight it and keep fighting for the beloved community. We will have many bridges to cross. He has established himself as an outspoken critic of President Donald Trump. Very interesting story coming to us from Jihad Watch as it relates to two corporations, two plants that have gone Sharia compliant in order to produce products that meet halal standards. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk on VCY America, and we're going to come back and tell you who these companies are and the steps that they have taken in order to be halal compliant. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to a News Roundup Friday on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly an example of evolution?
No, it certainly is not, Chris. The caterpillar has all the genes necessary for it to alter its shape into a butterfly and then lay eggs which could turn into a caterpillar. This is not evolution. It's simply growth. In fact, this is one of the greatest arguments against evolution. What could cause a perfectly happy caterpillar to attach itself to a tree and dissolve into a mass of jelly and come out with wings and legs and everything that a butterfly has? Natural selection would not do this. All the genes would have to be present at the beginning and could not have been gained one by one. Chris, I think you recognize this as an evolutionary just-so story. A much better story is the one we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We've got a news roundup day here today. So much going on in the news. And friends, I trust this helps you to understand the urgency of the hour. We're not here for playtime. We have an important task to occupy until the Lord returns. We are to continue to be salt. We are continue to be light in the world that we live in here today. And certainly it behooves us to share the gospel and to witness to others and to be faithful in all our dealings as we stand before the Lord. Certainly we know that each day that we live takes us one day closer to eternity, one day closer to the time of the Lord's return. And so it's very serious business, very serious times in which we live. And friends, it's no accident that you're living in this time right now. Have you considered, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? Burden my heart to be in prayer for our nation's leaders, regardless of whether there's an R or D behind their name. Be praying for them. Be praying that certainly their hearts would be turned toward the Lord, that those who don't know Christ would come to know him. Be praying for the world conditions that are going on at this time. Be praying for the justices of the Supreme Court as they are hearing some important cases coming up, and certainly that their hearts would be bent to do not as what is politically or popular for the day, but what is true and right according to the documents of our nation. Let's move on here in some of the stories. Interesting story that came forth from Jihad Watch. Two of the biggest names in Japanese home appliances were awarded what must rank as one of the oddest of halal certifications for products. In guaranteeing that their goods have not come into contact with pork or alcohol, Panasonic Corporation and Sharp Corporation are moving to gain a foothold in the growing more affluent Muslim market. Panasonic offered certification for its water purifiers and water ionizers for the Malaysian market. Sharp also gained certification for its refrigerators manufactured at plants in Indonesia and Thailand last year. To conform to standards considered halal, workers must remove their wristwatches because, according to Islamic law, they could be regarded as impure, a Panasonic representative said. This is done to ensure any traces of pork or alcohol that workers may have come in contact with outside the plant are not transferred to products being manufactured. Panasonic introduced a halal production line at its Haikon plant and carefully examined the ingredients of gloves and brushes to confirm that they were not derived from pork products. The company also placed the plant's cleaning tools and asked staff to wash their hands seven times a day to abide by Islamic law using halal cleaning agent. Isn't this amazing what we'll be gone to? Now, you can mock the name of Christ. That's okay. You can take his name in vain, and that's okay. But don't dare have a glove that is made out of what could be, or so use brush that could be have any derivative from pork products. Make sure that your cleaning tools are replaced. Wash your hands seven times a day to abide by Islamic law. Use a halal cleaning agent. We go on with our stories here today on Crosstalk. Until this month, Movida Johnson Harrell, proudly stood as the first Muslim woman to be elected to the Pennsylvania State Legislature. She has pleaded guilty to charges of perjury, record tampering, and embezzling over $500,000 in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security disability funds, and donations to a nonprofit facility that she established to allegedly serve low-income, mentally ill, and drug-addicted people in her district. Attorney General Josh Shapiro described Johnson Harrell's brazen corruption, revealing that her theft knew no bounds. Johnson Harrell had made an extensive career out of embezzling funds that personally belonged to the residents of her facilities and used the money to purchase fox furs and trips to Mexico to make payments on a Porsche. a Porsche to pay delinquent utility bills, to cover her granddaughter's private school tuition, and even to fund her political campaign, they report. Her nonprofit Motivations Education and Consultation Associates, otherwise known as MECA, was abruptly closed back in 2018 after investigators responding to a complaint found no staff on duty and the facility's 9 residents living in unsanitary conditions. Israel, 2019, has set an all-time record of 4.5 million visitors. 2019 was very successful for the Israeli tourism industry and saw an 11% increase in tourist arrivals over 2018. According to official figures, about 4.55 million tourists visited Israel in 2019. Some 54% of tourists said their views on Israel changed for the better after visiting the country. 93% ranked their experiences good to excellent, according to the Ministry of Tourism. And more than 55% of the tourists visiting Israel were Christian, just over a quarter were Jewish, approximately 2.4% were Muslim, reports TPS. They also, from the Jerusalem News Service, the Jewish fertility rate overtook the Arab rate in 2018 for the first time in the history of the State of Israel, according to data released by Israel's Central Bureau of Statistics on the last day of 2019. The Jewish fertility rate hit 3.05 children per woman in 2018, compared to 3.04 for Arab women. CBS also reported that Israel began 2020 with just over 9.1 million citizens, of which Jews accounted for 74.1%. In the past decade, Israel's population has grown by 17.8%, expected to top 10 million by the end of 2024. Interesting story here is PJ Media is involved in this story. The drag queen story hours, obscenely expensive, and when they're held in public libraries, guess who pays for them? The taxpayer. Chula Vista, California, taxpayers are stuck paying out over $42,000 for police protection at these events due to their extreme unpopularity with local residents and the tendency of LGBT counter-protesters to escalate tensions. Keep in mind that some of these so-called performers at these drag queen story hours, folks, have been sex offenders. And so taxpayers get the foot the bill, over $42,000 for police protection at these events. That's in Chula Vista, California. From WND.com, school officials at Wappingers Central School District in New York State have reversed their decision to ban a faith-based club for students. The reversal came after First Liberty Institute sent the district a letter pointing out its rejection of a student's request was unconstitutional. Oh, they had clubs like a Pride Club, but no, you can't have a club that is there that promotes Christianity. Well, they reversed their decision, and thanks to First Liberty getting involved with that. Another interesting story that has come from OneNewsNow.com. Public school officials and ACLU attorneys in the Golden State are battling parents over a legally mandated opt-out allowance for sex ed, which allows disapproving parents to shield their children from such lessons. So they have an opt-out. However, the ACLU claims that a lesson on gender expression does not fall under the sexual health education lesson as described in the original law. Left-wing school boards are predictably following the ACLU's legal guidance. Parents who disagree with the instructional materials related to gender, gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation may not excuse their children from the instruction, said Ronald Wenkart, attorney for the Orange County Board of Education, warned in a 2018 memo. You see, it's not technically the sex education. It's not sex health education. No, what they do is they put it in other lessons. Gender expression, putting them in other lessons. So therefore, removing the parents' ability to opt out. Well, let's go from California to Colorado. As Fox News is reporting, a Colorado high school under fire for assigning sexually explicit material which contained vulgar language and passages about sexting with minors without parental consent. Now, this event came out in late November. We just learned of it recently and wanted to bring it to your attention. We have Brett Kaysen, the father of Skylar, a 16-year-old student at Steamboat Springs High School, shocked when his daughter told him about the sexually charged graphic assignments she had in her music literature class. Ryan Ayala, the teacher who crafted the lesson around the poem Howl by Allen Ginsberg, apologized in a letter to the Kaysen, saying it was the most offensive material covered in the class ever after he didn't get parental consent, requiring students to fill in the blanks with lewd language. The poem was in a book that was approved by the school board, but it had the words considered offensive censored. So the teacher left the words blank, but had the students fill in the censored parts of the poem. In one assignment, students were asked to review a song that talked about sexting and offering sexual favors to a teenager, something that blindsided school officials when they found out about it from Kaysen. The lengths that are being gone to. Teachers and districts have now since apologized, but folks, the damage has already been done. HotAir.com is reporting, Happy New Year, kids. Fairfax County Public Schools, Northern Virginia, will enact a new policy January 27th of 2020, allowing school students to skip school for the purpose of protesting. Fairfax County Public School System is one of the nation's largest, with approximately 188,000, close in proximity to Washington, D.C. The policy allows students in 7th through 12th grades to have one excused absence each school year for civic engagement activities. Their school board member, Ryan McLeven, who introduced the policy, gave some examples that would be considered excusable absences like marches or sit-ins, trips to Richmond to lobby legislators, and he admits this is just the beginning of things to come. He said, I think we're setting the stage for the rest of the nation with this. How many school districts around the nation are going to be picking up on this? Oh, we saw it happen in Madison, Wisconsin. We saw it happen when they went to go protest against Governor Scott Walker at that time. I remember news media going up to students, why are you here? Well, we were here to protest Governor Walker. What did he do? Well, we don't know, but he did some bad things. Todd Starnes writes, an 85-year-old Salvation Army volunteer booted from his longtime perch outside Nordstrom in downtown Seattle. Why? Because his presence made gay and lesbian workers uncomfortable. Seattle Times reports that Dick Clark had a red kettle outside the store for 19 years. He's 85 years old. He's been there for 19 years, raised more than $100,000 for this organization, provides food banks, home shelters, an array, but his presence made homosexuals uncomfortable. PJ Media is reporting that this month, the first person to obtain a legal non-binary sex designation has successfully petitioned the court to order that the sex on his birth certificate be restored to male. This is James Shoup's petition described his non-binary designation as a psychologically harmful legal fiction. No, he always was male, always is male, had his birth certificate changed, now realize the error of that. And now we have the first trans person to obtain legal non-binary sex status changes back to his birth sex, a blow to the LGBT movement. Wish I had time to go further into the story. I don't. Here's another one. A man who identifies as a woman sues in an effort to gain entry into the ladies' beauty pageant. An Oregon man, Portland, who identifies as a woman and who has been allowed to participate in other beauty competitions, has filed suit against the United States of America pageants for denying his application to the Miss Oregon United States of America pageant due to eligibility rules that limit contestants to biological women only. Folks, there is no end in sight to how far these matters are going to be taken. I'm going to have a few more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented. Battles and their outcomes are confirmed. And details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
We've got a lot of news going on as 2019 closed off. 2020 has begun, and friends, I've not quite pierced half the stack of paper that I brought into the studio with me today with stories on so many different issues and topics, simply to inform you on critical matters and to also underscore the urgency of the times in which we live, certainly to be understanding of the times. And to realize, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of selves. They will be covetous. They'll be proud. They'll be boasters. We find that they will be disobedient to parents. They'll be unthankful. They'll be unholy. They'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Deceived and being deceived. We're seeing that deception grow. And these things are happening before our eyes. And as Paul told Timothy, preach the word. And that's what needs to happen from pulpits across this nation, Christian broadcast stations across the country, to proclaim the Word of God. It's the Word of God that needs to be proclaimed in such a time as this. As we continue with a few more stories here before we get to the phone lines today, coming to us from WND.com, a South Dakota veterinarian has issued a warning about imitation meat products like Burger King's Impossible Whopper. Dr. James Stengel originally rang the alarm bells on December 20th in Tri-State Livestock News. The Impossible Whopper patty is made from 24 ingredients, Stengel wrote. The most important ingredient is soy protein. The Whopper patty has just one ingredient, that would be beef. But the Impossible Whopper is a burger with a patty made from plants, including soy, instead of beef. The Impossible Whopper has 44 milligrams of estrogen, and the Whopper has 2.5 nanograms of estrogen, he explained. He said, let me refresh your metric system. There's 1 million nanograms in 1 milligram. Okay? There are 1 million nanograms in 1 milligram. So whereas the Whopper has 2.5 nanograms of estrogen, the Impossible Whopper has 44 milligrams of estrogen. That means that the Impossible Whopper has 18 million times as much estrogen as a regular Whopper, he stated in his article. Dr. Richard Santon hinted that hormones from such high levels of soy may have an effect on humans, but even that was only a slight possibility. He said there's still research that needs to be done before we get a full picture of high soy intake and its interactions with the human body. A story from Christian.org out of the UK. By the age of 13, folks, this will cause you great concern, but it's happening and you need to know. By the age of 13, more than one in three children who use smartphones have been exposed to sexting, a parenting app has revealed. Jiminy, which enables parents to check on their children's phone use, analyzed over 54 million messages and 1.5 million hours of phone usage to better understand the extent of sexting among children. Its research showed that on phones monitored by the app, one in seven children had sent or received a sexual message by the age of 10. The report reveals that both boys and girls had a problem with sexting, but that girls were more likely to be exposed earlier, with 15.5% exposed to sexual message by the age of 8. Girls were also more likely to send or receive sexual messages at almost every age. Almost 1 in 4 children had requested or been asked to send nude photographs or videos. More than 1 in 3 13-year-olds have been exposed to sexting. Townhall.com reporting that the largest county in Virginia, with a population of 1.2 million people, elected a George Soros-backed prosecutor, Steve Descano, took office January 1st. The very next day, January 2nd, he announced that Fairfax County is officially a marijuana possession sanctuary. Fairfax is already a sanctuary for illegal aliens. He formally announced that his prosecutors will not be prosecuting possession of marijuana charges. Another Soros-backed prosecutor who took office on January 1st in neighboring Arlington County is expected to roll out a similar policy. Fairfax County Police charge over 2,600 marijuana possession cases every year. But guess what? That's all coming to an end. Jelaine Appling from Wisconsin Family Council has the expression, elections have consequences. And doesn't this just bear it out? Here's a heartening story from the BillingsGazette.com reporting that the message, Jesus Christ is Lord on the Crow Nation, proclaimed on a new 33-foot illuminated sign in Crow Agency, which shares the image of the tribal seal. It was funded by the tribe. Tribal officials and religious leaders hailed the sign during a ceremony Tuesday. Within our nation, there's a struggle of peace, said A.J. Not Afraid, tribal secretary. This is part of the foundation to initiate peace, initiate joy, and initiate happiness. Today, we lift up the name of Jesus, said legislator Conrad Stewart. We have a sign that is supported by the government that will not be moved and that will not be taken down. The support was declared in 2013 when the Crow legislature unanimously passed a resolution that proclaimed Jesus as Lord of the tribe and authorized support for construction of a sign bearing the message. In his remarks, tribal chairman Daryl Old Coyote thanked Crow religious leaders for their support and said the sign would bring blessings to the tribe. He said there's a saying among the Crow people that words are sacred. When people drive by, this is what they're saying. While they're going by, they're blessing the Crow people, he said. Yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is Lord on the Crow Nation. We also have reported from FaithWire, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, faith-based sports ministry organization, distributed nearly 191,000 Bibles last year and roughly 2.5 million Bibles worldwide over the past 15 years. They've come into the spotlight, though, in recent months for their stance defending biblical marriage between one man and one woman. In November, Chick-fil-A announced that they would no longer be including the organization in its list of charitable beneficiaries. You see, in the statement of faith for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, it says, "We believe God's design for sexual intimacy is to be expressed only within the context of marriage. God instituted marriage between one man and one woman as the foundation of the family and the basic structure of human society. For this reason, we believe that marriage is exclusively the union of one man and one woman." It's a message that Chick-fil-A has decided to discontinue their support of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'd like to open the phones today and give you opportunity to weigh in on these or other news-related issues. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. The leading cause of death worldwide in 2019, you know what it was? Some of you say, yeah, I know. More human beings died in abortions than any other cause of death in 2019. Statistics compiled by Worldometers indicate that there were 42.3 million abortions worldwide in 2019. By contrast, 8.2 million died from cancer, 5 million from smoking, 13 million from disease, 1.7 from HIV/AIDS. But even when you add all those numbers up together, it still does not compare to how many were killed. That innocent little life in the womb, some 42 million people killed. Isn't that become the case that the most dangerous place in the world to be is inside the mother's womb? Also, interesting story here. I want to make you aware. Communist China. This is from the Daily Wire. Communist China, which currently has millions of people locked away in concentration camps, said in state-controlled media this week that the Second Amendment is a serious problem and that needs to change in how the American public views private ownership and guns. China mocked the United States, saying that shootings are shocking in a U.S. allegedly governed by law. Their attack on the Second Amendment comes after Hong Kong protesters have requested to have their own Second Amendment so they can defend themselves from the oppressive communist Chinese government. A communist China, they want our Second Amendment to go away. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We have Brian calling in from Wisconsin. Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah, you mentioned something about soy and hitting the phytoestrogens or the estrogens in it, and I just wanted to point out that flax seeds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, almonds, walnuts all have more of the phytoestrogen than tofu or soy. Apples, carrots, and stuff we eat have the same amount, so that's kind of a false thing. There's so much more you commented on, like the comment on, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you for your comments, Brian. Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment about the media and the things you report on. And revive an old thing, it goes like this. You can fool all of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time. But you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And I would like to include what Jesus said in regards to your media person who poo-pooed Noah. Remember, Jesus said in regards to the last days, those days would be just as the days of Noah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, and I'm sure that they were mocking Noah at that time as well, and now Noah's being mocked again.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Marcy in Duluth, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. This is Marcy, and I thank you for taking my call. I couldn't help but be alerted when one of the news reports you were talking about was on mandated sex education. It's coming to Minnesota unless the people are willing to get informed and stand up and stop it. And I'm part of the Child Protection League, which has a website here, contact@cplaction.com.
cplaction.com.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, many people don't realize that Planned Parenthood, with its vile sex education, has been in the school indoctrination system for years. And it's only gotten worse and worse. And when I received this flyer, it really brought me back to the days I used to fight pornography in the city of Duluth with a group of people here. If this law goes through, which at 10 years old would allow children to be exposed to pornographic, cartoon-like videos and things to allow them to learn everything about all of sexual acts that you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
This is so sickening. But I got to thinking, okay, when we desensitize our children in this type of education, what then, why would they report a father, a mother, a friend, a neighbor from violating them when they've been taught that it's perfectly normal?
Yeah.
It made me sick because here we are at this point where even these predators, if these laws pass in these different states, and they're going after every state they can, it's already in California and Colorado and a variety of other states, what is to stop a upcoming lawyer or somebody who wants to pad his purse more with taking on these cases of predation? They won't have a law to stand on if they're educating the children in the school system with this stuff.
You're right, Marcy. Thank you for the comment. I'm out of time. But again, it's cplaction.com, and this issue has been sweeping through Minnesota. I'd encourage Minnesotans to go to the website there to be informed as to some of the current issues happening in that state, and all listeners to be vigilant as to what's going on in your state. I'm up against a break. Got to run. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We've started a series on the dangers of discourse. Not the dangers of conversation, not the dangers of debate, but the danger of discourse. The belief that you can find common ground with Marxist or Islamist or extremist. But we learned, number one, to do that, you must accept their language. Number two, when you agree to have discourse with them, You're saying that your position is not fully truthful or acceptable. You're admitting by engaging in a discourse that there's something wrong with your position, be it your defense of capitalism, your defense of pro-life issues, your defense of national sovereignty. By agreeing to be involved in a discourse with them, you're openly saying, well, my position isn't fully 100% acceptable. It somehow needs to be mixed with their thesis. Well, that's the whole goal. Don't be involved in discourse with progressive Marxist Islamists.
What Marcy was saying there from Duluth is just so stunning. They're trying to teach this as being normalcy. And now here we had, and I believe it was a week or so ago, we had the story of this, December 13th, the San Diego Union Tribune reported that construction had begun on a Navy ship named the United States Naval Ship Harvey Milk after the pederast Harvey Milk. He's one who violated New York's age of consent law with a teenage boy. Constituted a Class E felony, and now our military honoring him, naming the ship after him. Back to the phone lines. We've got William in East Troy, Wisconsin. William, you're on the air.
Yeah, Brother Jim, Happy New Year. I don't know if you saw the news article on Breitbart about that Greta Thunberg. Her dad did an interview, and he talked about how climate change activism has now cured her depression. He said, she stopped talking, she stopped eating, and all these things. Of Greta's period of illness, speaking on a program guest edited by the 16-year-old activist, she stopped going to school, she was basically home for a year, she didn't eat for 3 months. He said that it was the ultimate nightmare as a parent. Well, now global activism for climate change is causing her to be undepressed, but climate change is responsible for her being depressed in the beginning? Well, these young people, they're being brainwashed. They have no hope. They aren't being taught the truth from God's word. They don't know that there's a creator who loves them and cares about them and gave them a purpose for living. And then in the book of Romans in chapter 15, Paul tells us that the reason that God gave us the scriptures is to comfort our hearts. Well, I would be depressed at 12 years old too if I was told that in 12 years, like AOC said, the earth is going to burn up because there is no hope for us. And I think it is child abuse what they're doing to these kids. Yeah. But so global climate change is being blamed for depression, but activism is now curing depression. It's lunacy. It's just lunacy. And I hope more parents would visit places like the Ark for answers in Genesis, and we would give them the real understanding of what this world and why it was created by God for.
Amen.
So I didn't know if you saw that article or not.
Thank you, William. Appreciate your in. Thank you for the call. And one day, folks, this earth is going to burn up with a fervent heat, is it not? But, folks, the matter is not due to global warming. The matter is due to judgment, God's judgment that will be falling upon this world for those who are turning their back, rejecting him, rejecting Jesus Christ. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Yes, the urgency of the matter is before us. Rachel in Medford, Oregon, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm 14. And I just wanted to know, when you were talking about phones, what an exceptional age to let a kid have a phone would be so that they would be wise enough to know when something is wrong and when to tell their parents.
Well, I believe, thank you for your call here, Rachel, and certainly that is a matter that is going to vary from child to child, family to family. And certainly the area of responsibility enters into that, and certainly a great discussion for a youngster like yourself to have with your parents in this regard. I can't say that there is a universal age that one grows out of it, because we see that there are many adults, Rachel, that are having problems with the very same things that are involved in sexting. The alarming aspect of the story is that how people are being reached younger and younger and younger. And that's what this warning is about. Thank you so much for your call. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim, you know, these people on the left just do not think straight. They make it so that porn is acceptable for adults, and they try to shove it down kids' throats.
Yeah.
And then when the adults rape the kids, all of a sudden they don't like it anymore. And it's the same thing with drugs. They want to legalize marijuana, legalize illegal drugs, and at the same time, we got these commercials on TV crying a puddle on the floor about these people and their opioid problems.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We should all, you know, help them because they're a victim, you know. They better make up their minds what they're going to be against, you know, because this isn't making any sense. They're believing opposite things at the same time.
Yeah, and we just saw the so-called legalization take place in Illinois. Long lines were out there January 1 to take part in the sales of marijuana, and of course, there's concerns coming across state lines. All this while they're talking about record number of drug overdose deaths taking place. And Brad, I just shudder to think of the number of deaths we're going to be hearing on the roadways as a result of people who've been overdosed with this stuff.
Yeah, like we don't have enough people going the wrong way on the interstate already.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
Well, God bless, first of all you saints, and I just want to say this. May everybody, all you saints, have a very blessed New Year's. And I thank God for your program because it brings us up to a par of what's happening in the world. And just like the kids, parents, watch your kids. You see how the cell phone is. I thank God for the young girl that just called up about the nudity and all that. They say don't smoke those cigarettes with the candy thing. They banned that, but yet they legalized marijuana in Chicago. They had 500 at one store standing in line for the marijuana. Saints, let that word be in your heart, and when you leave out going to work or going to shopping and things, ask God to show you somebody where you can be able to lift up the name of Jesus. That's all I call for, is to lift up the name of Jesus and say that he's a mighty God.
Amen.
So God bless all you all this New Year's.
Thank you, Courtney, for the call. Happy New Year to you as well. Our final call coming from Racine, Wisconsin. AB, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Jan, for your show. You know, I listen to all the problems of this day, and we go to and fro trying to understand how we can end all of it. And as the Bible says, Jim, it's not by our strength, not by our might, but by God's Spirit. The church is the only remedy to the sin that's in this world. And if the church does not be salt to this world, all we are good for is to be trampled on. The church needs to repent of its sins, be a light to this dying world that we are in right now. We are the only remedy to this poison of Satan and demons. So let me encourage your listeners, if they are the saints of God, it's time to be a great light in a dark time in this world. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. A very fitting close to the program today, AB. Thank you for the call. Folks, those are the issues that are before us. Indeed, we do need to turn to Christ. We do need to repent of our sin, turn to the Savior to be the salt and light. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today and all this week here on Crosstalk. We'll be delving more into the matter of Iran next week. Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed weekend.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.